Hello, I'm Elena Del Valle, and this is the HispanicNPR.com podcast. My guest today is Peter Amato, PhD. We will discuss nutraceuticals. Peter is a board-certified doctor of natural medicine and founder of Inner Harmony Wellness Centers. For nearly 30 years, he has been creating personalized wellness plans for patients of all ages, resolving a wide range of chronic conditions and diseases through advanced modalities and targeted nutraceuticals. He is co-founder with Andrew Weil, MD, and past chair of the National Integrative Medicine Council, and formed the National Centers for Complementary and Alternative Medicine within the National Institutes of Health in Washington, D.C. He has served as a consultant for the American Cancer Society and the Centers for Disease Control. He has authored two books, Soul Silence, The Path of Awakening, and The New Medicine, Moving Beyond Our Crisis of Perception. He offers holistic wellness seminars at the Rural Inner Harmony Institute for Living, helping participants overcome trauma, heal emotionally and physically, and recover from addiction. Peter, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Elena.
Would you share a conflict of interest statement with us, meaning who are you representing for purposes of today's discussion? Is there a third party who is compensating you to speak on their behalf for today's talk?
Yeah, I'd sign that, absolutely. I'm just here on my own as someone that's trying to help people find their way in their life with their health.
Thank you.
I do have a business, you know, that's a Inner Harmony Wellness Centers, you know, but you know, that's what I do for a living, right? I'm a doctor of natural medicine with a little business.
Okay, thank you.
Grateful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with something really basic. What do we mean by doctor of natural medicine? What is that?
Well, that's a fascinating question. You know, first of all, in a changing world and with the evolution of medicine, there has been quite a revolution with regard to people's worldview and how they see and perceive healthcare. So, as education continues, credentials change over time. So, for example, many years ago when I was on the board of directors of a naturopathic college in Washington, the state of Washington, called Bastyr University, they were credentialing doctors of naturopathy. So people would graduate, you know, as a naturopath, but the problem was, credential-wise, there was only a handful of states that were licensing naturopaths, similar to acupuncture. Way back when, there were only so many states that offered licensure in acupuncture. So what I'm saying is that from a non-traditional or an integrative medicine perspective, which is my background, the science and the way we offer healthcare to clients has radically changed, but society has not caught up to the changes because they still have their old guard system. So Doctor of Natural Medicine, you know, again, is a new credential out in the world, like naturopaths, like acupuncturists. Even massage therapy wasn't licensed until so many years ago by each state. So this is the problem, is that the licensing bodies and the credentialing bodies have not caught up to the way people are practicing medicine today. So thank God there's no wellness police out there. But, you know, I respect credentials, but I think there would best be some type of better credentialing in the country. But the problem exists is that tradition is tradition. So the people that are MDs and DOs in traditional medicine really don't want to see us thrive, honestly, having been in the profession for almost 30 years and dealt with tons and tons of MDs and DOs. It's been extremely challenging to gain acceptance with the mainstream docs.
And by DOs, you mean Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine?
Right. Those are the two credentials of what we call mainstream doctors in the United States, MDs or DOs.
Where does functional medicine fall?
So functional medicine, again, it's another subheading that there is licensure for functional medicine practitioners. In other words, you do not have to be an MD or a DO to become a functional medicine practitioner. However, that being said, there are MDs and DOs who realize that the medicine that they've been taught no longer serves the people of today as best it should. So they go on to get certified in functional medicine, or just as an example, they would become a DNM like myself, you know, get certified as a doctor of natural medicine in addition to the MD or DO credential that they may have. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think so. And your credentialing has been online. How did you learn? Help us understand. So you didn't go to a campus or a university, but you acquired your knowledge online. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, part of it was online, but to suffice the federal authorities to become a nationally credentialed, you know, as a PhD, there are standards. So basically, we would go on the road and have, you know, either weekends or week-long sessions with our professors live all around the United States to kick off a course. So every course had a kickoff. So we would meet the professor and the cohort that I was involved in, you know, my grad buddies. And we would spend a weekend or up to a week, sometimes even 10 days together. So a lot of it was face-to-face, live in beautiful locations. And then you would do your online work from day to day and meet on Zoom with your cohort and your professors, you know, as if you were in person anyway. So these days, everything is virtual. You know, nobody has to spend a ton of money traveling and getting face-to-face. It's all done online. It's the way of the world.
How did you get patient experience? Was that part of the time that you got together with your professors and your classmates, or is this something that you did on your own?
Well, in other words, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not able to diagnose or treat, so we don't do a lot of hands-on work. What we do is test and remediate. So it's a whole different aspect of medicine or wellness than a traditional doctor that would do a hands-on investigation, I guess.
That sounds perhaps more holistic. Am I understanding correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right on track.
Can I
explain that a little bit?
I'm sorry, what?
Can I explain that a little bit?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So imagine that you go to your doctor and you have a symptom. So you're explaining your symptom. So what would he do? How would he regard your symptom? He would either offer you a pharmaceutical, or he would send you for blood work. Is there anything else you could think of that they would do?
An MRI and any other number of diagnostic procedures.
Okay. So now that you've framed that up, if you take that into perspective, now let's talk about a symptom versus a root cause. So you just told the doctor about your symptom. So he's going to send you out for a blood work or an MRI. What does that really have to do with the root cause versus your symptom? See, that's where mainstream medicine and the education of MDs and DOs has gone astray. Because the truth is that in medical school, they were never taught how to treat or diagnose the root of a problem. They were taught how to treat a symptom. Now, years ago, decades ago, with our folks and our grandparents, when we had acute health issues, you know, spiral meningitis, leukemia, like things that we don't hear about today, that the medical system has advanced so rapidly that we no longer have those acute conditions or symptoms or issues, polio. What we have is called chronic conditions. So the doctors of today have not been taught in medical school how to test or treat chronic conditions. Becomes the problem in our society as to why the health system is failing. So when we think about how do we look into a patient's complaints, in our world, you know, and for almost 30 years, what we have learned studying with MDs and DOs and scientists, which I have from all over the world, we've learned how to test people's physiology, neurology, from a functional medicine perspective with regard to organs and glands and systems within the body and how they all function integratively to then assess what is the root problem that the symptom may be coming from somewhere else within their makeup.
Where does something like tuberculosis and measles that we're starting to see make a comeback fall in this discussion that we're having?
So not being a DO or an MD, that would be an acute problem. So I don't have a lot of knowledge about those type of things. But one thing I do know for sure, Elena, is that there's only basically four things that could cause somebody to have a healthcare issue at the root. Measles are a symptom. What you just mentioned are symptoms. They're not root cause. The question always comes up for me is, where did the measles come from? So in essence, it can only come from toxins, allergens, deficiencies, or some type of mental, emotional health issue, or a belief system issue at its core.
If someone came to you with what would appear to be measles symptoms or tuberculosis or any other of a number of acute conditions, would you be able to help them or would you have to refer them to an MD or a DO?
Well, the answer is I don't know if I could help them. I could certainly take them through our framework and see what occurs. See, the beauty is that the system, the scaffolding, and the framework that has evolved through my practice for 30 years has brought forward amazing technology from the MDs and DOs that have helped design a way of testing into people that really leaves no stone uncovered. So in other words, if somebody came to my office, the first thing I would do would be, I work in the world of quantum medicine. You've heard of Albert Einstein. So he's the founder of quantum physics, quantum theory. So that has now evolved into medicine. And that's what I do. It's not easy to talk to people about it because it's challenging to their belief system.
So you're looking at patient's health from a quantum physics perspective?
Absolutely. Even from the place of not only organs and glands and systems, but at the end of the day, tons and tons of research these days in the medical literature that our body is electric, okay? No different than a car or a house. Our humanism is electric. So we have an electrical system running our software system internally that drives our organs and glands and systems that traditional medicine doesn't acknowledge at that level of integration, if you will. So the first thing we do is to see if your electrical system, your operating system, your connectivity between your nervous system, endocrine system, digestive system, circulatory system, lymphatic system, is all connected and all energetically balanced at the cellular level. See, that's the first thing we do, is we check in on the luminescence of your cellular resonance. Forget about organs and glands and systems. Health starts at the cell. Fix the cell, people get well. That's what we've learned how to test in our office. We first have to get people balanced and testing before we could find out what's wrong with them.
How do you test for a cell luminescence?
Well, we have a number of systems. We call it the living matrix, you know, and again, there's more and more studies in the journals now that basically, in fact, one of my college professors, Dr. Beverly Rubik, actually coined the phrase, which is in the medical dictionary in Washington, D.C., called the biofield. Years ago, when I started this effort in policy in Washington, D.C., we called it energy medicine. We've advanced now to different words for it, like quantum medicine, but we've developed words like biofield, biofield therapy, that basically is about testing the luminescence of the cellular resonance in the quantum terrain, if you will. We do this in a number of ways. We have quantum physics-based neurofeedback, biofeedback technology, okay, where we can hook somebody up to a biofeedback system, which is software connected to a box, connected to a Velcro head harness that we put on a client. We type in information specific so that the software system knows there's only one of you. And with that being said, it runs 15,000 different amplitudes or frequencies through the being, through the head harness. In 3 minutes, it asks 15,000 questions and brings up a number of computer screens that basically says, here are the issues. So everything now with technology, very similar to AI, which is advancing, quantum medicine is very close to AI. So basically, any question in the world can be answered today using quantum physics technology with a yes or a no. And it's really all we need to know with regard to how we move forward with a client or a patient, if you will.
What do you think about this concept that's become very popular lately, where you look at the physical age and the actual age, as it were, the youthful age of the person, meaning that there are people who are following certain practices, eating healthy foods, exercising, meditating, doing yoga, whatever methods they're following, that make them younger organically than other people of the same chronological age. Have you heard of this concept?
Yeah, absolutely. So much to unpack in those questions, you know, the biological age versus the real age. So what does that bring up? You know, in other words, lifestyle, environment. There's even, as we know, blue zones in the world, you know, where science recognizes maybe 5 or 6 blue zones where people live to be over 100 and thriving.
Only if you stay there, though, right?
Yeah, so we wonder why that is, right?
Because you leave the area, you don't get the benefits anymore.
Right. So what is it about that area that brings forward the benefits is really what we want to learn, and how to bring that more around the world, if you will. So, you know, it's about lifestyle. It's also about environment. You know, we have a major problem in our world with environmental pollution and toxicity. The air, the water, the soil, the food is all tainted. So it's very challenging to not only get healthy, but stay healthy with the current conditions of what's happening in our world. And then there's the processed food and so on and so forth. But when you think about what we do with regard to cellular resonance, if you can take care of your health at the cellular level, you're basically bulletproof to getting sick. And if you get there, you know, as a relatively healthy person, maybe with a few health complaints or issues, very easily remediated, 3 to 6 visits in our office, and everybody's basically out of there. And it's a matter of just taking care of your cellular residents. We do a lot of work in the world of longevity and anti-aging. So that's like a next step generation for those that we get well at the cell. And that's how you keep your chronological age, you know, much different than your biological age.
What are nutraceuticals? Let's just go back to the basic question. What is the definition of a nutraceutical?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Elena. So if we think back, you know, vitamins have been around for a long time. You know, people go to the drugstore, the health food store, you know, they buy vitamin C, vitamin A, B, E, you know, so many vitamins, right? So a lot of people supplement their food intake with vitamins. So when you think about vitamins, and then you think about food, and then you think about pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are, first of all, they're synthetic. So anything that is synthetic is toxic. So already we have a problem. And not only are they toxic and synthetic, they happen to be in the top 5 leading causes of death. Studies show that more people die from pharmaceuticals than from disease.
Whose studies?
Well, you could look online. I don't know the studies, but if you look in PubMed and some of the major journal articles online put out by the highest reputable non-biased agencies, because most of your studies are made by the drug companies, as you know, I would imagine. So in other words, when you watch a television commercial, half of that commercial tells you that as the lady runs down the field of flowers, yeah, take this pharmaceutical, but you could have, you know, this happen or that happen, or you might die, or, you know, they minimize the side effects on every TV commercial. Why would anybody want to get involved in that when there's so much more value in nutraceuticals? Nutraceuticals, a hybrid, think about it, nutrition and pharmaceutics. Nutraceuticals. So these are generally plant-based, derived from natural foods and plants that are the early pharmaceuticals. Where did pharmaceuticals come from before there were pharmaceuticals, right? They came from the earth. They came from food. Food as medicine. They were natural bioactive compounds. That would be a nutraceutical. So they're synergistic blends of energetic information. You see, energy and information is in food, is in plants. So that's how we enhance our luminescence, if you will, our electrical body. That's the food to enhance and keep the cellular resonance vibrating and oscillating in a uniformed fashion. Remember, we're getting the electrical system firing before we want to find out what caused your symptoms. So we would use nutraceuticals after we test an individual. See, because the people that we work with over the 30 years that have designed the nutraceuticals figured out by testing methodology what synergistic properties of food and plants actually bring the correct energy through its properties. In other words, what are the bioactive compounds that might help, diabetes or chronic fatigue or brain fog or digestive issues, sleep issues. So if you go back thousands of years and you take in some of the cultures of other countries who, long before the United States, brought the best medicine. For example, from India, we have Ayurveda. From the Orient, we have traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture. So these people, thousands of years ago, got involved in the knowledge base of what's called piezoelectricity. Piezoelectricity is our word only in the last couple decades, that basically is this electrical system that the ancients use as their medicine. For example, acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine. In our hands and in our feet are acupuncture points that represent organs and glands. So back when they were manufacturing, designing, and bringing the synergistic energies into the compounds of what we call nutraceuticals, they would test a kidney, a liver, a spleen, a gallbladder, a stomach meridian on somebody's hand and feet with processes. We used to use electrodermal screening, which is basically connecting a needle to a little black box, like a probe needle, and that you would take that probe and you would put it on somebody's knuckle on their third finger over, and that represents the liver, and they'd push into that liver acupuncture point, and this little box would light up on amplitude, energy, in that organ represented in that knuckle, and it would see, is it lighting up, is it firing to its highest vibrational frequency or not? So you're looking at about impedance here and balance and energy throughout the body not being blocked or stunted as our first line of checking into somebody's health. So if it was low on energy, they would then take tons and tons of, you know, curcumin, cinnamon, turmeric, like you name it, every herb known to black pepper, like everything, and they would figure out what can we put in this petri dish to vibrate that acupuncture point higher. And that's how they formulated what we call today nutraceuticals. So that gives them so much more medical appeal, because they can offer a broad range of health benefits, including disease prevention and enhanced performance. So that's what I do with people, is I test into their organs, glands, and symptoms using acupuncture points on their body to find out if they're firing in all their organs and glands and systems evenly. If and when they're not, the first thing I do, I will then bring in nutraceuticals into the testing procedure to get that organ firing appropriately while making soap notes, writing down where were the weaknesses in the organs and glands. So that's how I'm first getting people connected to their mind and body, their electrical system, their piezoelectrics firing evenly. Then I could test to see what's wrong with them and why what it is wrong with them is wrong with them, and where it's coming from, and what is the underlying root cause of why they were misfiring to begin with. Like, here's an example. Since COVID, half the people who come into my office are suffering from autonomic nervous system dysregulation. Now, that's a big word. So what that means is that their brain and their body is not connected. We call it mind-body medicine. So they're living, we have two sides to our brain. We have a right side brain, left side brain hemisphere. One side is about, you know, relaxation, chill, spirituality. The other side is about getting it done, fighter, you know, cognition. So we want to have a yin and a yang, a balance of those two sides. But when we get stressed out, the nervous system kind of trips a breaker, and we become autonomically dysregulated, and then we're living in fight or flight or flee or fawn. But most people don't realize it. But what happens when the mind is not connected to the body is they get health complaints, because the body's not functioning in correlation integratively with the mind. So they come to me and they say, yeah, my right knee hurts. And I would say, you know, I could tell by looking at them these days after 29 years if their brain is firing and their mind is connected to their body. So I would test them and I would see, I'd say, well, you're not connected. You know, somehow you're dysregulated and you're just going through the motions. And I would ask them, do you feel that way? And they say, yeah, you know, I don't know what's wrong, but I know something is wrong, but I don't know where to look or what to do. And I've been to all these doctors and nobody could figure it out and so on and so forth. So in 5 minutes, I could get them back regulated. And then, you know, we bring them back once a month. And then the next month they come back, we see if they're regulated. But once I get them regulated, then I could further get their autonomics connected to the organs and glands and systems firing with nutraceuticals. And oftentimes I send them on their way. Or, you know, if I feel they're healthy enough, I'll put them on the table and test through what we know as the toxins, the allergens, or the deficiencies that may have caused this disconnect. If it wasn't stress and it wasn't mental, emotional, or belief system issue, then it would have to be physiological. So that's the knowingness that we bring together in the first visit.
Is vitamin C or vitamin A or calcium, are these nutraceuticals?
No, they're vitamins. When it's single, it's a vitamin. When they're synergistically blended, for a given reason, for a given purpose, it's now a nutraceutical.
Give us a commonly known nutraceutical. Is there such a thing?
No. No, there's thousands of them, if not hundreds. So we're talking about a product line that you would not find in the public. So these are doctor-grade nutraceuticals. They would have to be a licensed practitioner to obtain them. So you'd find them in a non-traditional doctor's office, you know, maybe a nutritionist.
A compounding pharmacy?
Well, no, that's a whole other world, okay, because, again, that's not plant-based. That's a little more, you know, a little more synthetic, a little more manufactured, if you will, compared to going to a farm and taking turmeric from farms in Asia and going to India for noni and South America for barley grass, picking it, putting it in vats, sending it to the country, grinding it up in a factory, putting it in veggie caps, putting it in bottles. Now it's a nutraceutical. You see the difference? This is live food blended.
I'm not following entirely. Some of the vitamins, from what I understand, are, I, in my naivete, thought, for example, that vitamin C was an extract of plants that have vitamin C in them, but apparently they're synthesized in a lab, so they don't come from fruits and plants. Is that right?
Well, there's many different versions of where vitamin C comes from, so it doesn't really matter, but the difference is that a nutraceutical would be more than one product. So I just grabbed one off my shelf here. So here's a product called Nucleoimmune. So what it is, I'll just read some of the ingredients, is organic turmeric, organic lemon peel, organic prickly pear, beta-glucan complex. So you see, so there's synergistic blends, and there's probably 5 or 10 other long words on this label. But But somebody took the time to figure out that this product, basically, I just happened to grab it, but we use it in our office because it kills any flu-like symptoms 96% of the time within 12 hours. We've been using it for almost 30 years.
So it's a blend of natural substances. Is that a good definition?
Yeah, from the earth. Right from the earth.
Wouldn't natural mean from the earth?
No, natural is not a good term. You don't want to buy anything that's called natural because it's synthetic usually. See these buzzwords, people get attached to buzzwords. Like natural to me is like toxic.
Like natural flavors that they're putting in food now, which are actually not what they're supposed to be.
Absolutely, Elena, and that's a perfect example. But see, if you don't know that, you don't know that, right? So you think you're doing a good thing.
Where does ultra-processed food come into this discussion? Because it seems like it would be inherently bad for you, right?
Yeah, it's killing our people. Anything in bags, boxes, cans, or jars is usually bad for us.
So the nutraceuticals should be supporting health. But for example, you shouldn't be taking the nutraceuticals in lieu of food. Is that right?
Absolutely. And let's go one more step with nutraceuticals, because the companies I deal with, in other words, they designed these synergistic blends of nutraceuticals to match chronic health issues in organs and glands and systems. So in other words, there's certain names of products that are just for liver, just for gallbladder, just for kidney. So there's certain nutraceutical blends that are organized and known for over 50 years now, the companies I deal with, that work when somebody has mold, fungus, yeast, parasites, bacteria, heavy metal toxicity, viruses, retroviruses in their organs. We test, we find out, you know, not only that they might have mold, but exactly what organ the mold is in would tell us exactly what nutraceutical to give them. So there might be five different types of nutraceutical on my shelf for mold in a liver, kidney, or brain. So we don't know which of the five is for that individual, so we would test all five. And the one that tests having the most cellular resonance is the product for that person. It's that synergistic blend versus this one, or this one. And then we even test the dosage, how many per day. So people get precision, organic grade 10 nutraceuticals in our office.
When you say you test, you mean the patient tries the different?
No. We have a framework of testing methodology. Sometimes we use our advanced biofeedback, neurofeedback, which does testing. Again, remember, all we want is a yes-no answer. So beyond that, we do manual testing. Manual testing is a field called applied kinesiology. Kinesiology is a scientific name. A lot of chiropractors use it. So you could test a muscle for strong or weak. That's science-based, you know, all the way back to, you know, the ancients with the traditional Chinese medicine. So we have studied with doctors and scientists that have learned how to take the acupuncture system, thousands of years old. So acupuncture points end up on the surface of a human's body. So if you've ever gone for acupuncture needling, they stick little needles all over your body. Why do they stick them where they stick them? Is because they know that right here is the kidney meridian, or the liver, or the small intestine. So these points are common and well known. So we go to school to learn where they are on the body. So the scientists that we deal with test, like I was saying earlier, your hands and your feet with the electrodermal, you know, the probes. They test these acupuncture points in designing the nutraceuticals. So now we do applied kinesiology, or the simpler word is called muscle testing. So we could go up and down a person's body, you know, in 10 minutes and go on 20 different acupuncture points with our two fingers. Okay, there's two fingers on our hand that, believe it or not, science has proven that they represent north and south. And this is, Chinese medicine. So in other words, if you take two magnets, they either come together or they go apart. If you take north and south, same thing, polar opposites. You get a yes or a no. It either stays strong or goes weak. That's how we test organs and glands using these two fingers on acupuncture points on the body to see if that organ or gland is irradiating the proper amount of light, or is it weak within a system? You know, an example would be, so many people are on thyroid medicine. You know, when they come to us, we just laugh because, you know, the minute somebody gets blood work back and their thyroid panel is off, they, you know, they put them on a pharmaceutical. But what if I said that, you know what, the thyroid is only one gland in a system of 11 glands called an endocrine system. What if the problem is upstream or downstream? What if your autonomic nervous system is dysregulated in your brain and that's affecting your thyroid? See, they don't test any of that. So it's like the old days, like a Christmas tree. If one bulb was out, the whole strand is off. That's what we do. That's checking your electrical system to see which bulb is out. Is it the thyroid? Or maybe it's the thymus? Or maybe it's your ovaries? That's how far that system goes down. So they're kind of just doing fake medicine, basically, by, you know, everybody you talk to, oh, I'm on Syntrax, or all these names for toxic pharmaceuticals, and, you know, they go back and they never get off them, and they just keep raising the dosage rather than treat the root of the problem. They're covering up the symptom, when at the end of the day it's usually toxicity in a thyroid or in a thymus. Just, you know, detoxify the gland and it'll work better rather than shut it down with something. That's just an example of nutraceuticals and its relationship to how we test for the precision nutraceutical for that individual in that moment of time that goes after the allergen, the toxin, or brings forward what's needed for the deficiency that you might not be getting from your food.
Where do the nutraceuticals and the ingredients that are used to make them, where do they come from?
Well, like I said earlier, they come from all over the world. So I only deal with companies that, I mean, I fly to their factory, I meet the owner, I go in there, the facility, I check the certifications of their machines, I check to see the cleanliness, and I talk to the purveyor. So they, you know, there's not a lot of these companies in existence that do it this way. It's old school. So they have people that get on the airplanes and go all over the world that know, like, what country is famous for what ingredient. Again, this is thousands of years old of knowledge that, you know, the best cinnamon is here. The best cistus plants are here. You know, Indonesia has the best noni. So, you know, the vibration of the plant or food is known after hundreds of years of doing this. So they go to the farms all over the world, and in the farm, in the field, they test the product with applied kinesiology. Because the rain, the soil, the wind, brings irradiation, the chemtrails in the sky rain aluminum on us, the 5G towers affect the soil, the plants. So usually it's countries that are third world where we find the cleanest and greenest, freshest products. And that's what they do. They make their deal with the farmer. There's certain vats that they use that are made a certain way that don't take away any of the freshness or wholeness from the products. How the products are shipped, whether it's air or boat, matters. In other words, back in the day when we were buying from one of our companies, in other words, this stuff is alive in the bottle, basically, when it gets to my office. The bottles they use, you know, no light gets into them. There was a problem I remember back, I forget when anthrax was going on. Remember anthrax?
Yep.
And I forget who it was. It might have been the post office or UPS or FedEx. One of them was lasering into everything that came across their conveyor belt. So our manufacturers called us and said, look, don't send anything out. I forget if it was UPS or FedEx. Never use UPS or FedEx because when they laser into the packages, they're blowing out the quality in the product through irradiation. So they said never ship UPS, ship FedEx, or I forget which one it was, but that's how like important how it is we take care of this beautiful, healthy, vibrating essence of food that's bringing its bioactive compounds to us. That's how important it is and how we work with these compounds and plants and where they come from.
Do they come in plastic or glass bottles or how do they arrive?
So we always use non-toxic non-toxic capsules. They're vegetable capsules. So the capsules are from vegetables, organic vegetables that melt in your mouth.
And the containers?
The containers are manufactured in a certain way, patented, that they're either glass or they're in a non-BPA type plastic that has been well tested not to leach or bring any mycotoxins in from the atmosphere.
What would you say to listeners who are concerned that many of these ingredients or the nutraceutical blends themselves are coming from third world countries, as you said, that they might be concerned about the standards or the toxicity in many of these places? China certainly comes to mind. A lot of people have concerns about Chinese products. What would you say to allay their concerns?
Well, I'd say they're wise to wonder about that for sure. So in essence, if it doesn't test, it would never make it into a bottle in my world. So I don't worry about that stuff, but it depends on people's worldview, right? It depends on their belief system. It depends on where they're obtaining their products from. Again, I would never buy anything at a health food store or online or on TV. Because we've there's journal articles that support that anything you could buy in a health food store or online, 97.5% of it is throwaway. That's how bad it is. It's either got talcum powder or it's a petroleum-based. You know, all of the stuff you buy off the shelf is mostly filler. So forget about China. You know, they're already buying junk thinking they're getting quality because they don't go to a practitioner and they don't buy 100% organic doctor-based products that exclusively test for them in that moment. If they're not doing that, then everything is up for grabs as far as purity and cleanliness.
What would you say to people who are concerned about a conflict of interest, someone who is prescribing a product that they stand to make a profit from versus writing a prescription for a pill from a third-party pharmaceutical company.
Well, everybody makes profit whether you're buying a, you know, synthetic product or a vitamin, right? I mean, somebody at the end of the day, everybody's making profit. That's the American dream, right? We're all here to be successful.
Well, the belief generally is that when a doctor writes a prescription, he or she is not receiving immediate compensation for that prescription. And there seem to be concerns regarding that have come out. But perhaps that is what most people think, that there is an unbiased person who is prescribing the medication, that in the case of the nutraceutical is never possible, because by definition, the person who's diagnosing you is the person who's selling you the nutraceutical. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we were hospital-based for many years, and, you know, we had MDs on our staff and DOs, and, you know, we took insurance, and we were traditional. So the pharmaceutical industry is basically run by the drug reps, okay? So the drug reps buy the doctor. In other words, they come in with free samples, you know, and they bring donuts and coffees and bring lunches for all the staff, and they get friendly with the doctors. Some doctors get trips and this and that, you know. So it's already corrupt from its inception. So these are the pharmaceuticals that the doctor then prescribes. If you want to talk about profiting.
What would you say to something like these superbugs that are running rampant, particularly in institutional settings, the antibiotic-resistant microbes?
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with what you're talking about, but, you know, are they man-made?
Well, as I understand it, they're the consequence of overuse of antibiotics, that because antibiotics have been used so widely, including in veterinary medicine, there is now a whole class. There's, I want to say dozens was the last time I read, of these microbes that have been identified for which there is no treatment. There are no medications that can kill them. They just wait out to see if people survive.
Yeah, these sound like man-made superbugs, you know, and, you know, I don't get much interest in these. You know, you get into, is it real? Is it not real? Is it conspiracy? Is it not? So I don't particularly get involved in that conversation. If it's man-made, you know, I'm suspect, you know, because there's a lot of, I think, corruption in our world where there's people trying to, you know, manipulate, let's put it that way, to keep it simple. So I'm sure it's going on. I mean, you know, where did COVID come from and why? You know, I'm sure there's people that have agendas out there that are trying to harm people. And I'll leave it at that. I don't know any more than that, but I don't really want to either, because my job is the opposite, because what we do is we bulletproof what you're talking about. Nobody could ever get messed with a superbug if they're on our protocols.
Let's talk about something that's really old. I don't know if it's as old as man, but from what I've read, it is pretty much since hominids walked the earth. Scabies. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about, you know, traditional things like that. Is that a skin issue?
It's a mite, I believe. So very tiny, very difficult to see with the naked eye.
Yeah. So that would be easy for us. In other words, probably 40% of our work has to do with things like mites and parasites in people, which we test, you know, in 15 minutes, we're able to tell you the exact species of the parasite or mite or whatever it might be. So that's what we do, because, and then we would apply the proper nutraceutical to remediate, kill those bugs, get them out of the body. You know, we love skin issues because that's a good sign that things are trying to find their way out. So we do a lot with eczema. Three visits, eczema is finished with us. So skin issues are just things trying to get out of the body. So we like to see that because it makes our job easier. 3 to 6 visits, you know, the mites are dead. We open up the pathways of excretion, put them on a good binder, get their digestive system ready to evacuate, kill them, detoxify, and re-nutrify.
What about allergies?
Allergies are a symptom. You know, allergies are a symptom. And again, 3 to 6 visits, we remediate all allergies as well. You know, what do you, you know, it can only be, you know, mold, pollen, mites, you know, yeast. So that's easily testable. And again, the nutraceuticals, you know, have all been designed for 50 years to eliminate the root cause of the allergy. You know, we figure out what organ is it in, what's the brand of the allergy, what's the, you know, the name of it at its root. And then we know that this nutraceutical synergistically, you know, loosens it up, kills it, gets it out. You know, it's like a 5-step process. You got to get the body ready. You can't just kill things and then hope that your, you know, your evacuation system is ready. Because that's a problem in its own right. You know, we have to open up the pathways of elimination before we kill anything so they don't have a Herxheimer reaction.
What about something like rapamycin?
You know, I don't know. There's studies coming out saying it's a good thing. You know, I tried it myself for some months. I didn't like it for me anyway. It's like an anti-aging. But, you know, it's technology. There's great results happening in the world of peptides now. You know, it's really replacing pharmaceuticals for people who, you know, can afford them.
Is that,
you know, it's not for everybody, but it's expensive. And
what are peptides?
Well, peptides are basically products that affect your DNA for longevity.
So similar to what many people are saying about rapamycin, but a different effect?
Yeah, you're pretty close on that. Yeah, yeah. And oftentimes they're compounded.
Why did you not like rapamycin, and why do you like the peptides?
I was getting some rapid heartbeat myself from them. So, you know, they're not for everybody. You know, you have to see if your system wants it, likes it. You know, I didn't derive the benefits versus the, you know, the side effect. So I stopped it. There's other peptides I take that work really well for me.
Where does creatine fall in there, in that spectrum?
Creatine, I don't know much about creatine.
Would those be nutraceuticals, or are they single products and therefore not nutraceuticals?
I think creatine is just one certain thing. I don't think it's a blend of anything.
And the peptides as well?
Peptides is a fascinating. You know, it's fascinating. It's a I'm still learning about it myself, to be honest with you. Yeah, I can't honestly tell you a lot about peptides. I know it's the leading cutting edge longevity and anti-aging going on. In fact, I know one, I think they work so well, they took it off the market, which is what they do, you know.
So they can patent it?
No, so that they can sell more pharmaceuticals. And people won't get healthier faster.
Peter, what would you suggest for people who want to learn more about this? This is a very broad conversation we've had today, who want to better understand natural medicine and nutraceuticals. Are there sources, are there nonprofit websites that have information or books where people can read and find out more?
Well, they can go online. You can Google, just Google nutraceuticals, and it'll take you into a whole world of knowledge. You know, if you're educated, you can go into PubMed, you know, which is medical journals, articles. You know, lots of medical journal articles on nutraceuticals anymore.
Are there particular researchers nowadays? Even the PubMed and journals have become suspect. There's a lot of accusations of fraud and articles that are being retracted, that there isn't a lot of due diligence in the publication process, or that it's falling through. Are there particular authors that stand out that you would recommend people seek out?
Not necessarily. I wouldn't trust any U.S. articles. They'd be from other countries for the most part. I mean, one of the companies that I use that is Clean and Green, and I bet my life on it. It's PRL Labs, Premier Research Labs. There's probably a lot of good information on their website because they're so excipient free. You know, they surpass by light years any other product on the market. And I'm not pitching them, but, you know, I see the results. There's another doctor that I love that is very much into this, is Dr. Dietrich Klinghart. You know, he's from Germany. He also has a clinic in the U.S. in Washington. You know, and there's online summits, you know, nutraceutical summits. The key is in the testing. The nutraceuticals are great, but for somebody just to read an article or read a book that says you should be taking this particular nutraceutical, is it really a good idea? In other words, testing is the key. Finding people that test for the exactness, the precision for your body right now is the key.
Well, how do you know who to trust for that testing, and how many are there that are accessible? Because I imagine they have to go in person for this testing, right?
Well, not really. We test a person on a, just give us a headshot on a cell phone. We test all over the world, honestly. So it's really, again, goes back to your belief system. If you want to have the results, like a lot of times I'll say to patients, you know, if you don't believe me, take the products, and if they work, pay me. Like that's, you know, after 30 years, I mean, I wouldn't be doing this if it didn't work. So if you have a belief issue, pay me later. I mean, that's how I roll if you want to know the truth, you know? In other words, if you could test and get a yes, no answer 100% of the time, that's my world. It has nothing to do with me. The answer comes from other than me. So that blows most people's belief system already. So, you know, if people are ready and they want to see results, give us a call.
What kind of costs, Peter, would you say are involved in the diagnosis and in the nutraceuticals themselves? Can you give us an idea?
Yeah, like in our office, it's, I think we charge like $250 for an hour visit. So you get two practitioners for an hour. The products, you know, you could probably walk out of there maybe $100, $200. You know, so maybe it's $400 or $500. But in 3 to 6 visits, we're done. You're finished. You don't need to take what we gave you anymore. They did its job. It's finished.
So as long as it's a chronic condition, you're able to assist.
Absolutely. Or a mental health issue. That's another conversation.
Peter, thank you for joining us from Jupiter, Florida.
You're welcome. It's been great. I really enjoyed the conversation, Elena. Thank you for having me.
And to our audience, you have been listening to Peter Amato, PhD, who discussed nutraceuticals. To propose a guest for the show, you can email me directly at editor@hispanicmpr.com. That's editor@hispanicmpr.com.